And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And part of me wants to talk about what happened over the weekend, because what happened over the weekend is a significant event in American history. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about rates changing. I'm not talking about real estate prices going up or real estate prices going down. I'm talking about the potential assassination of a presidential candidate just before the presidential event that they do, where the whole party gets together and makes a decision on whether or not that particular person is going to be their candidate going into the presidential race. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I don't think there's anybody in America who isn't aware that there was a gunman that tried to take out potentially the next president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. It happened. So why am I bringing that up? Does it have a bearing on real estate? Has it affected real estate prices? And from what I can tell, no, it hasn't. It hasn't affected real estate prices. And part of the reason it hasn't affected real estate prices, and I think part of the reason it hasn't affected the stock market either, is the fact that the bullet missed. Now, the bullet did hit. Now, let's be very clear about that. There was some kind of contact with something that caused blood to come out of President Trump's ear, right? I mean, you all saw that, right? Okay, but the bullet missed. So what we're not talking about today is we're not talking about a fundamental change in the United States of America. We are not talking about a fundamental change. So why am I bringing this up? The reason I'm bringing this up is to get your attention. I want to get your attention because what I think you don't understand is that I don't think you understand that what you're doing for retirement is working. I don't think you understand that. It's not working. It is not working. So why do I say that? Why do I say what you're doing for retirement is not working? Because statistically, I can back that up. Statistically, I can prove that the majority of you will not retire with the big bag of money and be able to live off of that big bag of money. Now, some of you are going, okay, prove it, Al. Prove it. Show me your stats. Give me your research. Give me your feedback. And I'll be honest with you. I don't want to read you all this stuff. I don't want to read you all this stuff. Here's a better way to approach it. Shall we take this from a different direction rather than me just giving you an info dump on a bunch of data that's going to make you turn the channel? Okay, I'm going to read you a list of interest rates. These are interest rates that you could earn if you put your money into a savings account. You heard me correctly. These are interest rates that you can earn in today's market if you put your money into a savings account. You want to hear what the interest rates are? Okay. American Express is offering 4.25, Genesis Bank 5.25, Forbright Bank 5.3, Lending Club 5.0, Capital One 4.25, EverBank 5.05. There's two more pages of rates of return that I could give you, but I think we can pretty much surmise that if you took your money and you parked it in a savings account, which the majority of you are doing right now, you didn't know that, right? You thought the 401k, you thought the IRA, you thought your special teacher plan was an investment account, right? Because that's the term that they use. They always call it your investment account, right? But if you really look at that account, it does make some money from the fact that the money is invested in different types of companies, right? It does make some money from that standpoint. But at the end of the day, how much money are you making? How much money are you really making? Do you know what you're making in your 401k? Do you know what you're making in your IRA? Do you know what you're making in your teacher plan? I would tell you that the amounts are probably similar to what the rates are that I'm telling you that you could earn if you just put your money in a savings account. So why am I bringing up these savings accounts rates? Why am I picking on your IRA? Why am I picking on your 401k? Why am I picking on your teacher's plan? Because at the end of the day, you've got a problem. You have a big problem. Just like President Trump potentially had a really big problem over the weekend, right? And America had a really big problem. You have a really big problem. You may not have a big enough bag of money when it comes time for you to retire. Now, I have talked about this ad nauseum on the show. Last week, I talked about the fact that you could get to the age of 75 and still not be retired. Still not be retired. That's crazy, right? All right, so let me take a step back and let me hit you with these interest rates of return that you could earn in a savings account in today's market. You want to hear them again? Okay, American Express, 4.25, Genesis Bank, 5.25, Forbright Bank, 5.3, Lending Club, 5.0, Capital One, 4.25, Everbank, 5.05%, and two more pages of returns. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that if you're not getting at least a 5% rate of return in what you're investing in, then what you're investing in is ineffective. It's actually ineffective. You would be better off taking your money and putting it into a savings account where it's FDIC insured for up to $250,000 per account. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Now, how do you know what the rate of return is on your 401k or your IRA or your teacher plan? Well, you have to go to your particular entity and you have to ask them that question. They either are presenting that information to you or you have to ask specifically to get that information and they'll provide it to you. But if you're not making at least 5% in what you're investing in, then you're behind the power curve. You are behind the power curve. So why do I bring this up? Because I am looking at real estate assets that you and I could buy that are producing better rates of return than 5%. I know exactly what's going on with my real estate assets. I know when those assets are poised to start doing the things that they're supposed to do in order to make me money as a real estate investor. And my assets have a cash flow component to them. What does that mean? Well, it means that the assets that you're investing in right now, even when you get paid, where does that money go? Does it go into your wallet? Does it go into your checking account? Does it go into your savings account? No, it goes right into that stock account because that stock account has a little rule that says all monies earned must be reinvested until you divest the account, right? Try and take that money out of those stock accounts, out of the 401ks, out of the IRAs, out of any of those government-sponsored accounts. What do? They hit you with a 10% penalty, right? They charge you 10% on top of whatever taxes you owe. They don't want you touching the money because they don't think you know what you're doing. The government thinks it knows better about how to get you retired than you do. Yeah, the government. The government's protecting you from your own investment. Now, where I invest, the way I invest, I'm in control of that money. Now, that money gets invested in a real estate asset. And that real estate asset is technically illiquid. In other words, I can't just wake up in the morning and go, wow, I've just decided that I don't want to be invested in this 200-unit apartment community in Phoenix, Arizona that I put $100,000 into. So what I want to do is I want to just take my money out. Okay, I can't just do that. Now, technically, I'll just be real clear with you. The majority of the investments that I'm in currently right now, they pay me six different ways. You want to know what the six different ways are? Okay, there's cash flow. I get cash flow every quarter from my multifamily investments. Cash flow comes in every quarter because that's the way the investment is set up. I get equity capture because we purchased the assets below retail value. We purchased them at wholesale value. We repaired them while maintaining a wholesale value. The difference between my all-in cost and the retail value of those assets, pretty cool stuff. That's equity capture. That's additional equity that goes on my balance sheet. I get the benefit of natural appreciation. Even though the lead investors are working hard to improve the position of that asset, I also have the markets helping to improve the position of that asset because the markets are helping to push the value of that asset upward. Pretty cool stuff, right? We put a loan on all of our assets. So as a result of that, we're making a mortgage payment. And because we make a mortgage payment, we're getting principal pay down. We are paying down that mortgage every month that we make a payment to it. And by paying that mortgage down, it increases our equity position in the asset. Pretty cool stuff, right? Now, as a real estate investor, I get access to the best tax laws that are out there. That's number five. And then there's something called multifamily forced appreciation. Pretty cool stuff. We come back from the break. I'm going to talk to you about returns on investment. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. What are you doing for investment right now? What are you doing for investment? I spent the first part of the show giving you some rates of return for just putting your money into savings accounts. Remember that? And they were all kind of right around the 5% return on investment range. And then I talked a little bit about what you're investing in. And I talked about the fact that maybe you don't even know what you're invested in. And then I told you a little bit about what I'm invested in. I told you a little bit about the fact that I know exactly what I'm invested in. I know exactly how to measure my investments. I know what my investments are poised to do. I know how to manage my investments. I know how to manage the people that are managing the assets. And I am making money six different ways. How many ways are you making money? And the short answer is maybe one. Maybe one. Now, at the beginning of the show, I told you about a property that came into my inbox. This is just one of many properties that comes in. This property was built in 1956. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath, no-car garage house. It's got a carport. It's 1,482 square feet. It's kind of the bread and butter of what we look for when it comes to Lifestyles Unlimited single-family assets. Now, check this out. This particular asset, based on my analysis, it's paying over 16% return on investment just on the cash on cash. You heard me correctly. Over 16%. My analysis says 16.26%. 16.26%. So what's a bigger number? 16.26% or 5%? It's not a trick question. This is not a trick question at all. What is a bigger number? Well, it's obviously 16.26%, right? That's the rate of return on the cash on cash that this particular asset could pay you if you invested in this asset. Now, this asset is paying $332 per month. $332 per month in spendable cash. That's cash that does not have to go into your IRA. It doesn't have to go into your 401k. It doesn't have to go into your special teacher plan. That's money that goes right into your checking account. Yeah, let me say that again. That's money that goes right into your checking account. What can you do with money in your checking account? Now, you should be paying your bills first, right? But at the end of the day, that's your money. It's spendable cash. So what can you do for $332 per month? What could you spend that $332 a month on in your household that would ultimately replace a bill that's a recurring charge to you? Maybe it's your electric bill. Maybe it's your electric and your gas bill. Maybe it's your electric, your gas, and your water bill. Maybe the $332 covers your utility payments in your household every month. That puts you $332 closer to being real estate retired. $332 closer to being out of the rat race. $332 that you're not actively going to work trading time for money for. You have an asset out there that's paying you 16.26% return on investment just on the cash on cash. Now, I haven't talked about the different ways this property can pay you. I'm just talking about the cash component. And just the cash component, you've got to understand, you have to understand that that cash component alone is doing better than what you're probably doing in your investment accounts. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but somebody has to be the Pied Piper. Somebody has to tell the emperor that he has no clothes on. Somebody has to get inside your head and let you know that what you're doing for retirement, it's either working or it's not. So why is that so important? Because if it's not working for you, how do you get ahead? How do you make traction on something that's not working for you? If you have an asset that's paying you a 5% return on investment, how long do you have to wait until that asset essentially doubles in value? Well, let's do the math. 5% plus 5% plus 5, it's 20 of them, right? 25% gets you to 100%, right? So 20 years. So it's going to take you, okay, but we could fudge it a little bit and we can say we have compounding interest. So let's say it's 17 years. Here, let's say it's 15 years. What the heck? 15 years. But this asset that I'm telling you about, this three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,482-square-foot property built in 1956 in Houston, Texas, of all other places, this particular asset, if you bought it, if you own this asset for 1 year, just 1 year, when you take into consideration all the different ways that we make money in real estate, the cash flow, the equity capture, the principal pay down, the natural appreciation, the tax advantages allotted to real estate investors, we doubled our money in this asset in year one. Year one. Not year 15, not year 17, not year 20. In year one, this asset is poised to produce a doubling effect of our money at the end of the first year of ownership. It's pretty cool, right? Now, I'll let you in on a little secret. This asset was always going to double your money. It was. Because in order to buy this asset, you need $24,500. But you're going to capture $36,500 in equity in the asset. Now, equity capture is one of the ways we make money by investing correctly in real estate assets. What the whole concept is about is you buy an asset at wholesale pricing. You fix that asset up while still commanding wholesale pricing. You get to an all-in price. That all-in price is your acquisition, your repairs, your closing, your holding costs. Everything that you have spent up to that point is your all-in price. But your all-in price is still at a wholesale price, meaning it is less than the retail value that the asset commands in the marketplace. The difference between those two numbers is the additional equity that you capture in the real estate asset. So I was telling you, it would take us $24,500 of our own cash in order to buy this asset. That's the cash out of pocket requirement necessary to acquire the asset, to improve the asset, to refinance the asset, and to own and operate the asset. $24,500. But the difference between the retail price of $221,500 and the all-in price of, now get this, you ready for it? 197, that's all equity you're capturing. So when you look at the net equity that you capture, you're capturing $36,500 of additional equity in the asset. An additional $36,500. Let that set in. Let that sit in your mind for a minute. You spent $24,500 buying the asset. By the way, that represents an 11% investment. In other words, you put 11% down on the investment as opposed to the normal 20% that you would consider you're supposed to put down, right? Based on what you've been taught. Yeah, because you've been taught you have to put 20% down on investment property, right? Well, check this out. We're putting $24,500 down on investment property, but it's only representative of 11% of the entire value of the deal. We're only putting 11% down. And part of the mechanism that makes that work for us is the fact that we're capturing all of this equity in the asset. Now, you think about it. If you took $36,500 and you added $24,500 to that number, how much money do you wind up with? A lot of money, right? Like $61,000, right? So you've got $61,000 worth of equity that it only cost you $24,500 to buy. You're getting a return on capital gain of almost 150%. Do you understand that? Do you see what I'm trying to point out to you? This is very important stuff because this is how you generate wealth. This is how you increase the value of your assets. This is how you increase the value of you. This is how you increase the value of you. All of this stuff goes on your balance sheet and is recorded as equity on your balance sheet. It's pretty cool stuff, right? All right, so let's talk about this investment a little bit more. We've already established that we're getting about a 16% cash on cash return, right? We've established that we're getting 150% return on capital gains based on the fact we're capturing equity in the asset, right? We're also, now when we own the asset, we're going to make principal payments. In other words, we're going to make a mortgage payment every month because we as Lifestyles Unlimited members have been taught to leverage our assets, that we get better rates of return if we bring in outsider money in the form of a loan, because the loan does not participate in any equity growth that we obtain in the asset. The loan is in it for what they loaned you the money for. They're getting their money based off of fees and interest, and that's it. That's their level of participation in the property. As the value of the property goes up, as we get natural appreciation, as natural appreciation hits at about 3.5% per year across the United States, the value of the asset is increasing. It is going up in value. So one of the things that I want to share with you is the fact that I knew that this asset in the first year was poised to return 105% return on investment if I were to dispose of the asset. And what's interesting about that is that number, that 105%, is actually a little bit less than that 150% of equity that we capture in the deal. What I'm conveying to you is that if we sold the asset, we would have costs of sale. There are costs associated with sale. So what I'm saying is that even if we held the asset for only a year, the fact that we captured 150% equity in the asset is like an insurance policy for us, because if we decide to sell the asset after just 1 year of ownership, only 1 year of ownership, we would still double our money. We would still come out with 105% return on investment after we pay all the costs associated with selling the property. We would still double our money after the end of 1 year. And here's the neat thing. Because we're real estate investors, we get the advantages of some of the best tax laws in the United States of America. Now, I didn't write the tax laws. Lifestyles Unlimited didn't write the tax laws. The tax laws in this country were written by people that came before us, people in the government, people in an entity called Congress. Yeah, Congress wrote these laws, and then the president approved them, and therefore they became laws. Technically, they were bills, and then when the president approved the bill, it became a law. There's your civics lesson. But at the end of the day, those tax laws are on the books. And what those tax laws allow me to do is they allow me to have some pretty great tax benefits. Now, I don't have enough time left at the end of the show to tell you what all the tax benefits are, but let me just share with you a couple of things that do benefit me. Did you know that there are two types of capital gains taxes out there? There's something called short-term capital gains, and there's something called long-term capital gains. Now, short-term capital gains go into play if you sell any investment asset in a year's time or less. In a year's time or less, you are subject to something called short-term capital gains rates. In those short-term capital gains rates, you are effectively taxed at whatever your ordinary tax rate is. And if you're like most people who are trading time for money, your ordinary tax rate is probably up there. So you would be hit with a lot of taxes, and then the government may consider you self-employed, and they may tack another 15.3% of taxes onto the other taxes that are associated with the fact that you sold the property. Yeah, because they may deem you as self-employed because that's actually a part of the tax laws. Now, conversely, I told you that we wanted to hold this asset for a year, right? If we held the asset for a year, we'd make about 105% return on investment, even after all the costs associated with selling the property, right? Okay, so we sell that property, but we don't sell it right at the one-year date. We sell it at the one-year and one-day or beyond date. And here's why. Capital gains laws, well, they change. They change. When you own an investment asset for a year and a day, you're subject to long-term capital gains rates. And capital gains rates in the long-term column are way more favorable than the short-term column. So that's one of the reasons that we hold our real estate assets for a year and a day, is because we get some pretty significant investment and tax benefits associated with doing so. Does that make sense to you? Totally makes sense to me. So what if we held this asset for, let's say, 2 years? Let's say we held the asset for 2 years and we decided to sell it. What would our net total return be after we paid all the costs associated with sale? We'd be right at 158% return on investment. How about the end of year three? 213% return on investment. What about year four? 269% return on investment. What if we held it for 5 years? What if we held that property for 5 years? We had a great resident living in that property that paid us on time every month for 5 years, that let us know when there were problems with that property. What if at the end of the 5 years, that resident came to us and said, "Al, we really enjoy the home. We really enjoy living here. As a matter of fact, we can't imagine living anywhere else. And we've kind of cleaned up our credit and we're looking to buy a home. Would you be willing to sell the home to us?" And you know what I might be able to do? I might be able to sell the home to them. And here's the beautiful thing. If I sold the home to them at the end of year five, I would be looking at a net total return of approximately 328% return on investment. 328% return on investment. Now, if you go back to the interest rates that I was quoting you earlier in the savings accounts at about 5%, and you compare that to 328%, what wins? What wins? Why are you not doing real estate? I know this is all becoming very clear to you. You should be invested in real estate. Real estate is poised to get you retired in the next 5 years, not in the next 30 or 35 years, but in the next 5 years. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.